Welcome to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me is Matt Smith. In the 15th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, Matt will break down the last match for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday from a coaching perspective. Later on, we'll have another edition of You're the Head Coach, and Matt will discuss what he would do if he was head coach for Fulham. We have plenty to get through, but before we get started, I have to welcome back my friend to the show. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well, Russ. Always look forward to doing it, and glad to be back. Took last week off, trying to get back into the swing of things in the office, but glad to be back.
Well, listen, it's great to do this show with you again. Just so everyone knows, we actually did have a post-match show, but what's great about doing this with you, Matt, is that we look at the matches from a different point of view, a coaching point of view, because you are a coach. So that's what's great about doing this. Not only do we review the match one way in a post-match show, but then you and I get to do it. We get to go a little bit deeper, maybe in a different way, and that's what I have enjoyed. And obviously the listeners are enjoying it because we have huge numbers so far on the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. So it's definitely taking off, Matt.
Yeah, it's great to hear, and it's glad people enjoy the show, and hopefully, like you said, we bring a little just a different perspective, and maybe some similar topics come up, but maybe just talked about in a different way.
Absolutely, and that was kind of why I wanted to do this with you. When you and I first met in person, we talked about the idea I had for this spinoff show for Cottage Talk, and because I knew that you were a coach and wanted to really learn from you and have the audience learn from you from a different perspective. And that's why I think it's been a success, and I always look forward to doing it with you because I always learn something. So without further ado, let's get into the show, and let's look back at Slavisa Jokanović's first match in charge of Fulham. It was against Sheffield Wednesday. Unfortunately, it was a loss, but just share with me your overall view of this loss on Saturday.
Well, I think it shows that we're going to go into playing a different kind of style. It was very very much a possession oriented type of performance. Even though you question kind of how much they grasped that going forward, in terms of creating chances. But overall, I thought we were a lot more organized. I thought we had a little bit more of a statement of intent of where we wanted to receive the ball and where we wanted to win the ball up the field. Slight change in formation that I actually liked. And him kind of getting his feet underneath. That's what I saw. It's just a team trying to come to grips and trying to understand what the new head coach really wants. So, unfortunate to lose, great goal, a wonder strike, by them, and nothing really that you can do about that. I would have liked to have seen us, as much possession as we had, I would like to have seen us at least create a couple more chances, but I think that kind of comes down to us getting used to the new style of play and really trying to adjust to where we want to attack and how we want to attack and things like that.
Well, let me ask you this again. It's going to be a new style. It seemed like a more pressing style again, really getting after the opponent, and like you said, it's a possession style, but it seems like a little bit more of an aggressive style, Matt. The one thing that I did want to ask you though is that, again, listen, it's his first match. We got to give him time to implement what he wants to do, but we saw players that, again, we've been watching for a long time that I thought, and you will probably agree with me, were played out of position. What were your thoughts when you saw, say, Ross McCormack to play on the left, and then you also had Kaká play on the right? He is a left footed player. What were your thoughts about some players playing out of position potentially?
Well, the first thing I saw was the definite potential to become very narrow in the attacking third. With two players, with McCormack and Kaká basically playing on opposite sides of where their strong foot is. The tendency is going to be, as you get closer to the goal, to cut inside and to make the field more narrow and to kind of cut down passing lanes and things like that. And I think that's what we saw. As soon as I saw the lineup, I tweeted with David about, this really has the potential to make us quite narrow. And I think it did, especially, getting into the attacking third, it really did. But you know, defensively, yeah, it's a much more aggressive, much more high tempo type of style of play. I thought when we had the ball, I'd love to see a lot of the stats about, you know, how many passes were square and how many passes were backwards, because I felt like we possessed the ball a lot in the back with really very little pressure and very little. We didn't put a lot of pressure on them with a lot of our possession. And so I think that those numbers can kind of be deceiving at times, even though, you know, if you have possession, the other team doesn't have it. But, you know, at the same time, you've got to be able to do something with it. So, but, you know, with the two players playing up, with those two players specifically playing opposition, you know, I listened to the commentary and you listen to Gentleman Jim talk about it and Sean talk about it. And I agree with them in that we really want Ross higher up the field. You and I have talked about that a lot of times, about how we really
want him
higher up the field. I think playing in that 4-1-4-1, I think that just tended to drop him back a little bit further. So hopefully, I think that really what he was doing is he was saying, okay, here's the formation and style I want to play. Let me just go find the best 11 players right now, and then we can kind of work through, you know, who really fits the best positions as we kind of move on, you know, week by week.
Okay, very good. And to go off on that, and I talked to the guys on this on the post-match show before we break down the players. I want to get your thoughts on two players that were missing. Again, we have not gotten any more information on potential injuries, but Tom Kearney did not play at all, wasn't part of the 11 or on the bench. And then you had Ryan Fredericks not included either. Again, not on the bench, not in the starting 11. How much did Fulham miss those two players in this match? I asked it to the guys. They believe that Fulham did. You know, you were talking about being narrow and also having that creative player like a Kearney. So your thoughts, how much were they missed?
I think they were greatly missed. I think in looking at the 90 minutes, the one thing that we really lacked was a very creative, slashing, pressing, attacking center mid when we had the ball. You know, it looked like we were really counting on our outside midfielders and Moussa Dembele to really provide the movement, you know, in the attacking third. And I just don't think that's how they're used to playing, and that takes a little while to get used to. But if you have somebody like Kearney who can be on the ball and create things themselves and create movement, because movement only fosters other movement. And so, you know, I think we missed him a lot. And with Fredericks, I think we missed him just because I think Gaz Richards is kind of stagnant over there. So, and you know, we've talked about that a number of times before. So, but I, you know, so that's where we missed Fredericks, I think. But Kearney, I think we missed a little bit more because of the style of play we're looking to play, and he's somebody who can actually create on his own and doesn't need, you know, and can cause some movement from the other players because of the way that he likes to flash and you know, get at defenses and things like that.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get more into this, and let's now break down the team. Let's start at goalkeeper. Share with me your thoughts on Andy Lonergan.
I thought he played a very good game. You know, definitely nothing he can do about the goal. You know, something that's you know, when you're, you know, I saw David's tweet about, you know, I'd like to take a look at it and see if he could do any better at his near post. But really, angle-wise, just from a goalkeeping standpoint, angle, with him being so far away, he couldn't be any closer to his near post because he'd be giving up too much of the goal to the backside. So you still got to be slightly more central. I thought he was playing it right. It was just a great strike. It was great head pace and had some movement on it, clipped the underside of the bar. And, I mean, you know, I don't think you can do it. I think you just got to hold your hand up and you know, say great goal. But, you know, he definitely made three or four saves in the second half to keep us in it. You know, one fantastic save on Gary Hooper where he just made himself big. You know, the one thing that I think I've probably not as much, maybe not as much as I should be, but maybe just in being critical of him is his distribution with his feet. I think at times he gets a little bit careless. I think at times he isn't as accurate as he would like to be, and as we would like him to be. So, but, you know, overall, I think he definitely kept us in the game. You know, definitely one of the candidates for my man of the match. You know, it's something that we've got to give him a little bit of help. You know, if we only give up one goal at home, you know, we should at least be drawing, if not winning.
Okay, let's move on. Let's now talk about the play of the fullbacks. Let's talk about Jazz Richards, and also Tim Ream. And what's interesting, and I'll just share with you a little bit of what my co-hosts were talking about. I believe it was Mike Gregg talking about that it seemed like our fullbacks were on elastic band. They would only go so far. I don't know if that's what Jokanović wanted, but they would only go so far. They wouldn't really go into that attacking area. And basically, we're playing more defensive. So I'm curious your thoughts on their play in this match.
Well, it definitely did look like almost two banks of four with one in between, with Matilla sitting in between the two banks of four. And it did seem like there was basically a line in the sand where, we don't want you in that area. And I think a lot of that actually had to do with giving McCormick and Kaká, giving them more space and giving them more of kind of free reign to do what they want to do. Now, for the unfortunate consequence of that is that they have more space to cover defensively. So that can kind of, be tough. But I think what he's looking to do right now, and understandably so, and I think Stuart Gray has a lot to do with this too, is he's trying to make us more solid defensively. And then once we can solidify that, then we can start to move forward and things like that. But, I think that I thought that they were okay. I think Jazz Richards gives the ball away cheaply too many times. It's infuriating when I see him give away throw-ins and put throw-ins in bad positions and, things like that. And then with Tim Ream, I just don't know if physically if he's, up for this league. That's the thing. I've seen him time after time get bullied off of balls a lot. I think he's kind of I wouldn't necessarily say a luxury player, but he is, a little bit not as hard maybe as I think we'd like for him to be as an outside back to win tackles and things like that. I just don't think that's necessarily his strong point, which is difficult in this league.
Okay. Well, let's move on. And now let's talk about the two center backs. Let's talk about Richard Stearman and Dan Byrne.
I thought they did fine. I didn't think they really, did too much wrong. I think Stearman gave the ball away, as he does once or twice a game. He'll give the ball away cheaply. But what I like about him is that he works really hard. When he does give it away, he works really hard to win it back for us. He did that off of a corner. I think one was half clear, and he gave the ball away cheaply, but then went straight ahead and won the ball straight back for us, which is – that's really big, and just his attitude I really, really like. Dan Byrne's playing pretty well. I think that, he got kind of caught up in some weird challenges and things like that, got himself a yellow, but that didn't really change the way he played, which was nice to see. A lot of times that can really make you back off of things and make you play a lot more passively, but he still played pretty well. I think the one time when they got caught flat, when they got caught kind of even with each other, was the one time that their big center forward was able to flick one on and Gary Hooper got in between them. And Lonergan had to make a great save in order to keep it out in the second half. Like the commentary said, that was really the first time that really worked. And that's saying a lot because I think Sheffield Wednesday looked at that pattern a lot with playing the ball to the big center forward, him flicking it on and Gary Hooper trying to get in behind. So the fact that they were able to kind of stuff that out a little bit, I think kind of tells you that they, definitely an adequate job.
Okay, and that's going to lead me to ask you, again, we're going to talk about the midfield. We're going to talk about it in parts because I want to get your thoughts on each part and then obviously leading up to Moussa Dembele up front. Let's just talk about one player. I want to get your thoughts about Sakari Matilla. For me, Matt, I've been missing a player like Dixon Atuhu for the longest time. Could he potentially become that type of player? How did he play in this match? I'm curious your thoughts.
A different type of player from Dixon Atuhu in that I think he's a little bit more athletic, believe it or not. I think he's a little bit shiftier, a little bit more agile than Dixon Atuhu. Now what Atuhu had is he had a little bit more size to him and ability to be a little bit more physical. But for me, Matilla was my man of the match. I thought that he was very, very good sitting in front of the back four. I completely agree. I think that's exactly what we've needed. We needed to really make roles in the midfield very black and white instead of saying, okay, you two are playing in the center midfield. All right, ready, go. You could tell that his job was to sit in front of the back four, to play that, if you want to call it the Patrick Vieira role or the I can't remember the guy from down the road. Anyway, But anyway, the Dixon Atuhu role, that role that just sits in front of the back four, cleans things up, and then keeps possession for us. And then is also, as we go forward, an outlet to go side to side. I think that he was excellent. He played some really good passes and was very patient and didn't really try to do more than his role told him to do. I think what you saw when Scott Parker came in is he starts to get a little ambitious at times and tries to be, you know, captain hero and try to go forward at times when he can, stuff like that. The problem is when he does that and we give the ball away or he gives the ball away, we're in trouble because there's space open. We're exposed in that spot. So I think what Matilla did very well is he played his role and didn't really try to go past that role. Just said, this is my job. I'm going to do it the best that I can. And I thought that it was very effective.
I agree. And, again, it's funny because here I am in New England and we have the mantra, do your job. And the first person I think of in that match that did their job, just did what he was told to do and really went out and executed was Sakari Matilla. That's why I wanted to really just target him, talk about what he did, and then we can move forward. Now let's talk about, again, we're still in the midfield. Let's talk about Emerson Hyman and Jamie O'Hara in this match.
I thought that Hyman was definitely more involved than O'Hara. O'Hara definitely had pretty good opportunities to look for shots and things like that, but he's still not the player that he was before, earlier in the season. He's still not, he's definitely not controlling the tempo of the game like he was earlier in the season. And you wonder why. I think maybe lack of match fitness and things like that, which is hard to get when you don't play, but it's kind of a vicious cycle. You can't play unless you're fit, but you can't get fit unless you play. And so it's kind of a tough thing to deal with. But Hyman, I think, was definitely one of the more probing center midfielders. I think I would probably lean towards, if he's healthy, Kearney and Hyman. I'd love to see those two play together and see kind of how they could work. But I thought Hyman played some pretty good balls, and I just don't think that there was enough movement in order to give service in the type of style of play that we were trying to look for. Because you would see we would build, and then Hyman would just loft the ball forward to Dembele because that's what Dembele was looking for, and it'd be a 50-50 and we'd lose it. But I'm not sure that's exactly what we're looking for from our center midfielders. I think we're looking for more probing on the floor, find gaps, play little deep balls through and things like that. So, but I thought both of them played rather well. I thought Hyman's really coming into his own, getting a couple starts, and I think his confidence is pretty high right now. So hopefully we can hopefully he can keep that going.
Okay. Excellent on both of those players. Now let's talk about, again, I asked you starting the show talking about Kaká on the right and McCormack on the left before we talk about Dembele. I guess you could say in between them or Lona from, however it morphed into. But let's talk about those two players first. Again, Kaká on the right, like I mentioned, McCormack on the left. Did it work?
You have to say no because we didn't score and we didn't create a whole lot of chances. So I think the easy answer is no. Last show we did after the Bolton match, I really got on Hyman – or sorry, not Hyman, but on Kakaniklić for not staying wide on the right side and really tucking in too tight. I thought he did a much better job of staying wide. You saw him more often getting the ball, in that wide channel as compared to coming inside and really disrupting things. I thought he did a better job with that. But I think that Ross on the other side did, kind of went into, was able to, was tucking inside a lot. I remember there was a passage of play where Ross and Tim Ream are both probably 6 yards from the near post. Probably 6 yards from the post on their side of the field. And that just gives no width. And that's just, there's nothing, with the style of play that we're looking to do, when we get into the attacking third, we have to stay wide to be able to open up passing lanes. And
right.
when you compact the field in the attacking third, where the space is getting closer, getting smaller anyway, because there's not enough space behind because you're getting closer to the goal, you have to keep it wide, and you've got to be able to keep space so that you can find those passes and then start wide and then make runs inside as compared to staying inside and running straight. So, I thought that Kaká did a better job of staying wide. I don't think maybe we found him as much as we should have or could have. I think that, you know, a couple of times he did it. The problem is when he gets wide and he goes down the line to cross it in, it's on his weaker foot. So that's why just from the get-go, I don't really see the advantage to having him on that side. If we want him to stay wide, then we're asking him to stay wide on his weaker foot. And so I think that that's kind of where just the easy problem is, and that's an easy problem to fix.
I totally agree with that, and I hope that our new head coach looks at, you know, again, the positives and also the negatives, what worked and what didn't work, and I'm glad that you really analyzed these two players, because, again, it was something that had me scratching my head. All right, let's now talk about Moussa Dembele up front. We can also throw in Kali Woodrow because he came in a little bit later, but I believe he played in a little bit different role. But let's just focus more on Moussa. How did he play in this match?
I thought he was a little bit lost in the attack. I thought defensively he definitely put a shift in. He was closing people down, closing down the goalkeeper. You know, definitely can't fault him for that. I just feel like he was a little bit lost on and a little bit confused as to how he was supposed to get the ball and in what spaces he was supposed to get the ball, because you saw him trying a lot of different things, none of which were really effective. You know, and then probably the frustrating thing was, you know, when we did get balls played in, how often was he really in there challenging those balls? I remember, you know, I can remember a couple of times, you know, Kaka playing balls, decent balls in, and nobody being there, or, you know, even Ashley Richards playing a ball in and not being, you know, him not being there. And so that's, I think that's just part of him being confused as to where he's supposed to get the ball and in what spaces. So, you know, he definitely didn't have one of his best games in the attack, but I thought defensively he definitely put a shift in. And so, you know, you definitely can't fault him for that. And at the very least bit, if that's the least that he did, then, you know, so be it. But obviously he's got to be able to play both ways.
Okay. Very good. Very interesting takes on the positions, the players in them, and how it looked on Saturday. All right, Matt, let's now transition, and we're still talking about this match. Let's talk about coaching situations. First of all, I want to get your just overall thoughts on the formation that Slavisa Jokanović initially used for Fulham on Saturday.
Well, I like parts of it. I definitely like the Matilla role, you know, the role in front of the back four. I think that definitely helps cut off passes. And what it does is it allows the front five, so the midfield four and the striker, it allows them to press higher up the field and us to be able to win the ball higher up the field. So I definitely think that that's a good thing, because we're not as exposed, and those other two center midfielders can definitely step higher and put more pressure on them. And at the very worst, cause them to play long first-time balls that are 50-50 balls, and we can go up and try to win as well. So I definitely like that part of it. But in terms of the, you know, having the one up front, I think is tough, because it's who do you play there? You know, if you play Dembele there and you play McCormick out wide, I don't necessarily think that's where McCormick is at. It's in the middle of the field, up higher, you know, getting the ball in dangerous areas and things like that. And so, you know, I think maybe a 4-3-3 would even be a little bit better, you know, as compared to a 4-1-4-1, just push those wingers higher up and play a true 4-3-3. And I think we may end up seeing that. I think, again, like we said before, like we talked about before, I think that we may see us move higher up the field in the attack. But right now, I think he's trying to solidify the defense and get the defending right and try to cut down on the goals against. So, you know, I definitely like the defensive part of it with the Matilla in front of the back four, but we've got to get those wingers higher up the field in order to create more in the attack.
Okay, and what's interesting about this is why I'm glad I can do this show with you, you know, some of the conversations we've had about this. David's concern, David Holly, our Cardiff Talk co-host, is that he's glad, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't know exactly how David worded it, but he's glad that Jokanović is basically trying to fix the issues we're having defensively. His concern, Matt, is will we have balance? Will that then affect what we're doing attack-wise? And I understand David's concern, but to your point, it sounds like you think that it's basically one step at a time. He's trying to solidify the defense and then work on going forward.
Yeah, I do. I think that he's addressing our major issue. When you come in, you kind of start to prioritize, okay, what are our major issues and what do we need to get done first? I think the obvious thing is, you know, you've got to cut down on the goals against. You can't win every game 5-4. You're not going to win every game 5-4. So you've got to cut down on the goals that you're conceding and the type of goals that you're conceding. Because it's a lot easier to teach defense and to fix that and to really work that on the training ground than it is to actually work on attacking, believe it or not, because defending is more of a science. It's very black and white. It's this is how we're going to do it. This is how it's going to be done. Everybody on the same page. Okay, good. Let's move forward. Whereas in the attack, it's more free flowing. It's more of an art form. There's a lot of gray area there. Hey, which run do I make? What space do I need to be in? Well, it doesn't really matter as long as you're in good space, as long as you have good space and good width, and you're trying to get in behind people and trying to find gaps. So I think that trying to deal with a more black and white problem, I think is probably definitely is his first priority. And then you can kind of move forward and you kind of say, okay, now here's how we're going to go forward. Here's how we're going to try to score goals and things like that. Just let the players express themselves a little bit.
Now let's focus on Jokanović, because again, I couldn't see it on the replay, but many fans have told me that he's very animated and he's, given direction throughout the match, and I like to see that. What I also like about him is that he's not afraid to change things if they're not working. Obviously, we're going to talk about the substitutions, whether you agree with him or not. Obviously, he's trying to change how we're playing a little bit by bringing in other players. But also, again, I don't think he's married to any system. Matt, he does seem like a tactician. Like, he's going to play this chess match with the other head coach or manager, whatever that person's official role is. But what I like about him is that, again, he's not willing to change things. So I just want to get your thoughts on his coaching style the first time in charge of Fulham.
Well, I think he definitely shows he has the passion, by how animated he is on the sidelines. And I think that's definitely, obviously a huge change. We would score goals. And I remember, we score three goals in 10 minutes or something like that in a game. And then Kit Simons barely changes his expression. So I think it's definitely a breath of fresh air. It's just something different. It's something that from when I was a player, I loved my coach to be animated. I loved for them to show that they were in the game with us, as compared to kind of sitting on high and looking down onto the game. So having him be, that emotional and that animated, things like that from game one is fantastic. He is definitely a tactician. I think, he's a proven, he's a very proven manager. He's definitely a proven coach. I mean, with what he did at Tel Aviv this year and, what he did at Watford, I think he's definitely proven that he's willing to come in and change things and bring maybe just a different culture. And it'd be interesting to see kind of what that culture is. But, it's a lot of it is a wait and see thing, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Okay. Excellent. Let's talk about one other coaching situation. I basically have mentioned two of them already at the beginning of the show, so we're not going to do them again. But I want to get your thoughts on something that I was talking to Emilio Danilo after the match. He messaged me, and then we talked a little bit on Skype about this, about the first two substitutions, not the third. The first two substitutions, he used the word negative. Again, I don't know if you would call these substitutions negative, but they weren't as aggressive. He wanted to make this clear to what Stuart Gray had done in similar situations when he was in charge. So I want to get your thoughts on how he used his substitutes, say, compared to Stuart Gray.
Well, I think, it probably came down to a little bit more less tactics and more just kind of a player decision. I think that you wonder if Matilla had 90 minutes in him. I would have loved to have seen him stay on. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that I saw him fading as much. So I would have liked to have seen him stay on. But O'Hara was definitely fading. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it that he was fading. You could see him, he was starting to drag a little bit. And so, bringing on Scott Parker, it was probably not a bad move. I probably would have kept Matilla where he was, though. I think that pushing Matilla forward didn't really add anything to him. So I think it was kind of I can see where Emilio is coming from. I would actually say that it's more of a neutral substitution as compared to a negative substitution. It kind of really didn't do anything. And so that's, you know, when you make a substitution, you're looking for something to make an impact. And I just don't think it did. I just think it kind of stayed the same. And so, you know, that's, you always want to see aggressive substitutions. I'm sure that's what he was going for, is something to try to change the game. You know, push Mitchell high up the field because he was being so effective, you know, in his role. But you know, when you push him higher forward, that doesn't necessarily he's going to be the same player in a new role. So, you know, it's something that, again, he's just trying to feel out. He's just trying to see kind of how, you know, what things he can do. I think that in this system, I don't think you're going to see Matt Smith a lot. So I don't think that that was really an option in this style of play. I'm not sure that Matt Smith is really going to see a whole lot of time. With you know, maybe some small exceptions. I think you're going to see a steady dose of Dembele and Ross McCormick and Colin Woodrow. You know, with that, just with us not really playing the ball in the air nearly as much and trying to look to possess and slow the game down, things like that. So, but you know, that's what, kind of where I am. When you said that you thought that there were negative substitutions, I neither agree nor do I disagree. I think it was just kind of a neutral. Couple substitutions. I don't really think they really impacted the game either way, positively or negatively.
Okay, very good. Before we move on to the section we call You're the Head Coach, you just talked about three players I definitely want you to analyze, because we're talking about Ross McCormack, Dembele, and Colley Woodrow. And say in the future Jokanović plays one up front. I want to ask you, could McCormack play that role? I think Woodrow can play that role. Dembele obviously has already played that role. Could McCormack potentially play that role?
I think he could. I think he's more likely, if he were to move to the center of the field, I think he's more likely to play in that attacking center mid role with either Hyndman or Tierney or somebody like that. I think that's more likely of where you'll see him. I don't think that, because he's just not a target forward type of player. He's not that type of player. Whereas Dembele has a little bit more, you know, more size to him and ability and physicality to be able to play off the shoulder of center backs and on center backs. I think that Ross is somebody who needs to get the ball going towards goal with faced up. You know, his game with his back to goal isn't great. So I definitely would lean towards Dembele. And even Woodrow, just because of their abilities to play with their back to goal. So I think more likely, if you were to see him move to the middle of the field, it'd be him dropped into the hole, you know, behind the striker.
Okay. And just wanted to bring that up because, you know, again, I want to see him in a more central role. So I was just curious your thoughts on that. And being up front, obviously, he's not, you know, again, I was thinking while I was saying it, you know, because I talked to the guys about this, could he do the role? Yes, but again, could he be like a target man? Probably not. Not big enough, and probably not as effective with his, you know, turned around. Whereas Colley Woodrow can probably play that role, and of course we know Dembele can play that role. But I'm just trying to think of ways, Matt, to get him more central. If you know where I'm going at.
Right. No, absolutely. I just, you know, you worry about when he plays in the center midfield of him tracking back too far and defending too
right.
far. You know, which he's done in the past. So. You know,
I think my concern is in this system, where does Ross McCormack fit? That's why I'm kind of centered on, well, could he play that role? Yes, but again, that's not ideal. So where does he fit in this? That's where I'm kind of going at with this discussion we're having.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's the question is if we play one up front and play the 4-1-4-1, you know, where is he really going to fit in to be the most effective? And, you know, it's troubling, obviously, when you see some of the rumors about him being sold as well. So you wonder, what kind of validity those have to him, just because you wonder if he's going to fit into this kind of system. But he's a good enough player to where I think that we've got to be able to utilize him and got to be able to utilize his talents to get us some goals.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to third and final section of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, and that's You're the Head Coach. All right, Matt, you're the head coach. Slavica Jokanović, what would be your analysis of the game management in the Sheffield Wednesday match?
I thought the game management was fine. I thought in the first half we came out, we really showed purpose and showed some, especially some defensive purpose about where we wanted to win the ball and you know, forcing them to one side of the field and keeping them there. I think the one time we didn't do that, we saw a wonder strike from 35 yards, and it did fluster us a little bit. You know, that's the one time that when you give up, when you're playing pretty well and you give up a goal like that, that's the one time that you'd really love to almost have a timeout and bring everybody over and say, hey, we're okay. Just keep playing the way we're playing. Like, there's no need to, change the way we're playing. And it did change the way that we played for a little bit, but then we kind of settled back down, settled into our game, you know, had, you know, definite advantage in possession. I thought we, you know, a lot of times we were the better, you know, we were the much better team, but you know, you would have liked to have encouraged I would have liked to have seen encourage the players to be a little bit more daring in the attack and in the box and getting on the end of crosses and things like that. But you know, from the games management side, you know, I think the one thing that you can probably critique him on is just the very neutral substitutions and could we have gotten Colley into the game earlier and you know, been able to you know, with him and Garbutt, you know, try to press higher up the field and play with two up front, maybe even a little bit earlier.
Okay, very good. All right, Matt. Let's now look at it as you're the head coach, you are Jokanović. What would you be looking to change for the next match with potential changes to your team selection, what you might say to the players during the week in training, and maybe what would be a tactical change you might do? Again, what's interesting is that you're playing Sheffield Wednesday again. So I find this a fascinating matchup because, again, you could, you know, I'm sure you've learned a great deal by playing them once. So what would be your approach the second time?
Well, this is going to be a game that you can definitely take some chances in, and you can definitely kind of see what kind of playing staff you have. I think you'll see a number of changes. I think you may see Ross get a game off. You know, it's been a while since he's had a game off, so you may see him. It depends on kind of what he wants to do. I mean, he may march the same 11 out just to kind of reinforce, hey, this is what we want to do, and still try to start to teach them and keep teaching them things like that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how he approaches it. I think with a new manager, you may end up seeing him taking this opportunity to play a strong side in order to really kind of basically use it as a, not a training match, but as a match to kind of say, okay, let's get another match under our belt. We've actually already played this team three, you know, a week ago, you know, so now we can actually go back in and try to fix some things and tweak some things. I think we've got to be much more attacking in the attacking third. We've got to be much more dangerous. We've got to be much more, we've got to ask a lot more questions of their backs and make them make decisions. I think that's a big tactical thing that you've got to fix. And, you know, what you say to the players is, you know, one of the better teams in the league, challenging for a playoff spot. You know, if it's not for a wonder strike, you know, you're definitely right in the game. So why should we think that we can't play with any team in the league? And, you know, we definitely just need to kick on from here and you know, just be a little bit more confident in our movement in the attacking third and look to score some goals.
Okay. All right. Let's now move on to, again, we're already talking a little bit about it. You know, you're the head coach. You're in training this week. What would be your focus? What would you be working on in going into your second match? Again, you're Jokanović, you know, you're trying to implement your system. What would you be working on this week?
I would be working on the movement of the ball from the neutral third to the attacking third and what your shape looks like from, you know, moving from one to the other. So maybe some kind of exercise where you start the ball in the middle third of the field. You know, you're playing with pretty big numbers and pretty big size of a field. You know, You bring the ball out of the middle third. You go into the attacking third, and then you work on attacking shape from there. You know, making really penetrating runs, looking for penetrating balls. You know, looking for little integral passes and combinations, things like that, from center midfielders to center forwards and center midfielders with outside midfielders, things like that. So, you know, that's really what I would be working on. I thought we defended pretty well. I think that's starting to get solidified. I think that's obviously something you've got to continually work on every week. But I think that if you, you know, throughout a season, there's a lot of times that I call it where you become a firefighter. You know, you say, okay, in that last match, this was the fire. Let's put out that fire right now. And I think that fire was the lack of movement and creativity in the final third. And I think that's what would be a big thing that I could see them working on this week.
It's funny you mention that because in his commentary after the match. I don't have the quotes directly, but I believe he was talking about that they need to be that they with the ball they're doing fine. It's without the ball that they need to work on. So that sounds exactly what you're talking about here.
Right. Yeah. And the tough thing to deal with that is that actually the movement of the ball is going to dictate what the movement off the ball is. And so we still do need to move the ball. I think it got stuck to one person's foot a lot in the attacking third. We've still got to move the ball, make the defenders move, make the passing lanes open up. But then as soon as we see those lanes, to try to move into them off the ball and be dangerous and be threatening.
Okay. Let me ask you again, talking about the movement, was it the speed of the movement, meaning the passing? Were they not, you know, again, because, again, I'm going back to what Sakari Matilla was quoted as saying. Again, I don't have his quotes in front of me, but he was talking about, you know, the passing. You know, again, to be, I believe he used the word quicker, faster. But does everything need to be faster?
Faster is, now, in terms of the ball moving faster, maybe a little bit. I think what we need to see more is faster speed of thought. So if I'm off the ball, I've got to be a little bit more anticipate a little bit better where the ball is going to go next, so that I can anticipate where my move needs to be next. And so that's where it kind of comes. That speed of thought needs to kind of pick up, so that we can play in one and two touch. Ball gets passed, you know, from the left to the right, and a run is already being made as compared to the ball being received on the right and then a run being made. And by then it's just too late. The defenders have too much time to kind of anticipate that before you do. So it's as the ball is moving, the speed of thought to be able to say, okay, the ball's traveling to this player, so I need to kind of run in this space so that they can play me first time, or and you know we can try to get look to get in behind them.
Okay, and I think another way to put it, because while you were saying this, I was again, you know, for the people that follow, say, American football, the NFL, and I follow the Patriots, decision making, and the one great value that Tom Brady has is decision making is so quick, so fast. Like you said, his thought process is so fast. I think that's where you're going with that. Am I correct, Matt?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, and it's just the anticipation of what's coming next, which is going to allow your thought process to speed up that much faster.
Okay, and then have everything go smoother, and you know, and get into potentially better areas to get scoring opportunities, and that's obviously what we need here. All right, Matt, to finish up the show, I got a couple bonus topics for you. Let's talk about Slavica Jokanović a couple ways. Let's start here. Let's talk about Stuart Gray's role. Now, again, you're a coach. You're Stuart Gray. How would you feel about being part of a staff where he's bringing in two of his, I guess you could say, prized assistants coming with him from Israel, and he's going to be part of that staff? You know, you're Stuart Gray. How would you feel about that, and how does that all work?
Well, if I'm Stuart Gray personally, I'm happy to be back in the game and to have a job. You know, he wasn't employed for a little bit. You know, now he has a job. I think he's going to, hopefully he's just happy to be employed and happy to be a part of a staff that, hopefully can kind of move things forward. I think that, I'm sure him and Jokanović have had a number of conversations about kind of what his role is going to be. I could see his role being kind of a defensive specialist, kind of, you know, really, really working with the defensive side of the ball and really trying to clean that stuff up. Because I think his defensive record kind of speaks for itself and, you know, historically, and he's known as a very good defensive coach. So, I think that could be something that he really thrives on. But I think, you know, more than anything else, I'm sure that he's probably just, excited to be a part of the game again and, get another chance to prove himself and, maybe work with somebody different and, just to have somewhere to go day after day and to have a new group of players to work with and then kind of a challenge in front of you. Because I think as a coach, that's one thing that I always look at is am I being challenged? Is there a challenge here? And if the answer is yes, then I'm going to be very enthusiastic about my job. When it gets mundane and it gets kind of a hard environment to work with or work in, I think, you probably move on. And so I think that if it was and the conversation didn't go very well, I think that you would probably see him move on. But that hasn't happened, and I think that, so I think, you know, things must be at least you know, on the surface, and right now must be doing okay.
Okay, and I'm glad that you start this off to be happy that you have a job, because that's obviously a factor here. And hopefully, you know, again, it sounds like he's going to have a role, and I agree with you. I think it could be, quote unquote, defensive specialist, and help work on that part of Fulham's overall game. All right, Matt, to finish off, I want to talk a little bit about Jokanović, and I want to talk about how he has presented himself so far to the press, to the fans. Again, he's had a few pressers so far, and I'm just talking about, for me, I don't know how you feel about this. So far, he's saying everything I want to hear. What are your thoughts about how he's projected himself to the press and the Fulham supporters?
Well, I think he comes across as a very confident manager. I think he comes across as somebody who knows that he is very confident in his abilities and confident in his methods and his philosophy. I think that he's, you know, it's definitely not going to be, there aren't going to be a whole lot of, doesn't seem like at least, that there's going to be a whole lot of press conferences like we did with Kit Simons, where it was just, where you could almost answer the question for him if you knew what he was going to say. And so it's going to be exciting. I think he's going to add a little bit of excitement off the field, and hopefully he can bring that onto the field. But he strikes me as a very confident person, and a very passionate person about the game. And so hopefully, if that's the kind of culture that he can bring in, and just be having excitement and a very passionate culture, I think there's a lot worse things that we can say.
I totally agree with that. All right, to finish up the show, give me your final thoughts on what we've talked about, or anything else you would like to talk about.
Well, it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how we play this game Saturday. I'm very interested to, you know, when you play a team, you know, in a cup situation, when you've just played them the week before, and played them to a pretty, you know, a pretty tight game. And, you know, like we said before, you know, you had, you know, one goal game on a wonder strike. And other than that, as a 0-0, you'd probably say, you know, maybe they would edge it 1-0 another way, but it didn't look like it at times. And I'm really interested to see kind of how he approaches this match. Is he going to use it as a chance to see what kind of playing staff he has to make a lot of changes, or is he going to go back and say, okay, we're going to reinforce this and we're going to go back the same way, tweak some things, and see if we can't get a different result? So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he approaches it. I think personally, I would like to see him keep the same playing staff out there and really kind of just drive it home, and so we can get it right, so the next time that we come into the league, you know, the next week, that we'll be ready to go and then ready to kind of hit the ground running.
Okay, very good. I'm curious to see what his approach is going to be for this match. And like I mentioned, you know, people are talking about playing an opponent twice in a row, you know, that's not great. And I actually think that's a great opportunity, especially for the team right now, for Jokanović and the development of Fulham Football Club. I think this is a wonderful opportunity, and I'm curious to see what they do with it, Matt.
Yeah, and I'm very, very excited. I think it's a good draw for us for the cup. And you know, you always love to have a cup run, and this is where it's going to start. So hopefully, that's kind of the message that he's putting across is, hey, you know, this can really build our season and build the excitement around the club. So let's get off to the right start.
Okay, great. All right, Matt, before we wrap this up, again, I want to thank you. You know, again, we couldn't do the show last week, but it's just been pure joy. You know, I looked at this, and I keep numbering the shows. Do you believe we've done 15 of these now?
Wow. That seems like a lot. I guess it's no wonder that I'm starting to lose my voice. I have a blast. I have a blast every time I do it. It gives me a challenge. It gives me kind of an outlet, especially in my off season now. It gives me a challenge to kind of keep my head in the game and start to maybe even see how I can implement some of the things that you know, good or bad, either implement them into my program or take them out of my program or just be aware of them. So I definitely have a blast doing it.
And listen, it's pure joy for me to do it with you, and I look forward to doing this each and every week whenever we do a show. And like I said, 15 episodes, it's great, and we're just going to keep on doing them. Before we go, just remember you can download College Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. You can also listen to College Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available on most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's going to do it for the 15th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. For Matt, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Russ.
Take care.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look down.